My dear brethren and sisters, deity through the prophet Isaiah testified, I create new heavens and a new earth. Deity is speaking of a time of blessing that would come on this earth. So when might this new creation, this new earth, this new heaven come to fruition? Our master, speaking of that glorious time, said to John, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. And yet, dear brethren and sisters, we still wait for this time of blessing. So, dear brothers and sisters, do these words have the impact for us that they were meant to convey? Or do they leave us wondering when deity will establish his kingdom on this earth? For this delay can leave us feeling despondent, apathetic, lethargic, listless, rudderless. You know, dear brothers and sisters, we have no reason to doubt that Christ will come soon. No doubt whatsoever. For he is even at the door. So, dear brothers and sisters, this morning I wish to focus our thoughts upon the coming of Jesus. Jesus, in response to his disciples' request, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? Provided ample warnings for his disciples. Warnings that we would do well to take note of. So have we not witnessed the signs of the times? Have you not witnessed the hand of the Lord in the earth? You know, dear brothers and sisters, as I meet with other brothers and sisters, I talk with them concerning the signs of the times. I want to know what they have seen. I want to know what they are thinking is taking place in the earth. I want to know when Christ is coming. I find, dear brethren and sisters, there's a lack of certainty. There's a lack of assurance. Surely there can't be a lack of assurance as to the coming of Christ. Oh no. Not the lack of assurance of the coming of Christ, but there is that uncertainty about the timing of his coming. In the meeting where my wife attends, there are those there who believe that Christ will not return this side of 2,200. Another 200 years. I find this view incredible. In view of the signs that we see around us, I am unable to reconcile their position with the evidence we see in the earth. So, dear brethren and sisters, are we of a doubtful disposition? Are we unsure of the signs concerning the coming of our Lord? The signs are all around us. Look at Brexit. What does it tell you? What does it tell me? Were we not ready for Brexit last April? Did you, through the work of the angels, announce it loud and clearly that Britain must leave the EU? Yes, Brexit was announced very clearly by Deity in April last year. You will recall the years of Margaret Thatcher, whose purpose in life was to destroy the power of the unions because they brought down a Conservative government under Edward Heath. And when she had the opportunity, she destroyed that union, the National Union of Mine Workers, and decimated the mining industry of Britain. But, dear brothers and sisters, what was most remarkable about her actions is the time it took to accomplish. So we ask, when was the last deep mining pit closed in Britain? You may be surprised to learn that it was not until the 18th of December 2015 that the last deep mining pit was closed, just over a year ago. And that, dear brothers and sisters, should have been of great interest to us. But, dear brothers and sisters, what is even more significant was the news last year when Tata of India, who owned British Steel, decided to close the steel industry of Britain and said, Tata. Well, dear brothers and sisters, when I heard this news, my jaw dropped. Think how significant this piece of news was. Here, Britain, in just a few months, would hold a referendum on Brexit. She would no longer have a coal and steel based industry. So why was this decision so important? Well, dear brothers and sisters, the original agreement which eventually led to the formation of the European Economic Community was based upon the 1950-51 coal and steel agreement between France and Germany. And Great Britain would be devoid of both these industries. Therefore, there would be no need for her to be part of a European Union. Think how exciting this was, to see Britain without its coal and steel industries. Then, dear brothers and sisters, on the morning of the referendum, as I was taking my grandchildren to school on the outskirts of South London, there was traffic chaos. The heavens had opened. The rain had fallen. And the traffic was at a standstill. The terrible storms which had developed over France brought flooding to the south of England. And to those remainers who chose not to venture out again at night to cast their vote, their inaction resulted in Brexit and a clamour for another referendum to be held. The hand of God had been at work. The people failed to vote that day. The government thought that they had the whole situation under control. Cameron retired to bed in the early hours of the following morning, feeling confident, assured, smug. Farage, feeling glum, he too retired to bed, thinking that he ought to concede, for he believed he had lost the referendum. The aides, in the middle of the night, awoke both men, telling them the incredible news. Brexit was a fact. Think, dear brothers and sisters, both England and Wales have been occupied by the Romans. They voted out. Scotland and Northern Ireland had not been occupied by the Romans. They voted to remain. The division of Britain may not be over as yet. The people may well have a final say. And now, in recent weeks, the Conservative Party looked for a strong and stable government, only to be rewarded with fragile and fickle coalition, Condupe. Yes, deity has appointed Mrs. May to be Prime Minister, but not on her terms. She will have to take Britain out of the European Union, out of the single market, out of the customs union, so that Britain may freely trade with the rest of the world. Now consider the words of Isaiah, speaking of the latter day Tyre. They're found in Isaiah chapter 23, verse 14. Isaiah 23, verse 14. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste, and it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years, shall Tyre sing as a harlot? Yes, dear brothers and sisters, Tyre represents Britain. And Britain, after the last war, was reduced to a state of trade. She had lost her empire. She was reduced to trading with the Commonwealth of Nations. Her glory days were over. She sought other markets. In November 1947, she announced that she would be giving up the mandate for Palestine. And for 70 years, she has been a backwater power. as far as trade is concerned, and dependent upon the generosity of her EEC and then EU for trade. They limited who she could trade with. But in 2016, the people rebelled. They wanted to shake off the shackles of the EU, didn't want their regulations, and the ability then to trade freely with the nations of the world. So, after a period of 70 years, with her newfound freedom to expand her markets, she looks out on the world, the global stage, and she will flourish. But, dear brethren and sisters, I would like you to look back at these events of history and take comfort from them, for they demonstrate clearly the hand of God has been at work throughout the past century and before, but we'll just look at the past century. Think the British government during the First World War agreed to the Balfour Declaration, in which they would facilitate a homeland for the Jews. The date was the 2nd of November, 1917. Little did they realize that the 17th of the second month, this was the date in the Jewish calendar, November the 2nd, 1917, was also the 17th of the second month in the Jewish calendar. And we say, but so what? Well, the 17th of the second month in the Jewish calendar is exceedingly important. If you turn and read in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, and I'll read it for you. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. What a remarkable event. Noah, safely in the ark. He had been there since the 10th of the day of the second month. And now the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. It is our Lord who counseled the disciples in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 to look to Noah's time, saying, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It is Jesus who warns us concerning the judgments coming on the earth. Deity in Genesis 6, verse 3, limits man's time on the earth. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. Dear brothers and sisters, if we think about this event more closely, deity allowed man a further 120 years. Noah takes 100 years in constructing the ark. And yet both events end on the same date. Most likely, Noah took 20 years in preparation, those initial 20 years. So, dear brothers and sisters, if we reckon the first of these events paralleling the days of Noah, as Christ asks us to consider, because obviously they weren't applicable to his disciples, they're applicable to us on the coming of Jesus. If we parallel those events with our days, and we take the first Zionist Congress in 1897 as being a starting point, and we add 120 years to it, we come to 2017. If we reckon the second event takes place from 1917, November the 2nd, and the declaration, the Balfour Declaration in that year, then that too ends in November 2017. And if that is the case, the 2nd November 2017, which was the 17th day of the second month in the Jewish calendar, then that date this year relates to the 6th of November, 2017. How significant might these dates be, dear brothers and sisters? We can't truly tell. But, dear brothers and sisters, that date should pass us by without some significant event taking place will astound me. Then consider Britain. She will almost certainly have agreed terms of divorce as per Brexit by November this year. And she will doubtless be actively turning her mind to agreeing new trade agreements with the EU, whilst other trading delegates will be beavering away in distant lands, leaving no stone unturned, so that at the earliest opportunity, Britain will open her trade to the global markets. She will once again be the Tarshish of Scripture, plying her trade around the world. She will be playing the harlot. But, dear brothers and sisters, what of Israel? We recall that Britain decided to give up the mandate for Palestine in November 1947. I think the UN at this point in time placed the calendar on the wall for 1948 and offered to the blind of their organization three darts apiece, inviting each one to take aim and to see what date they would hit. And lo, the date they struck was the 15th of May, 1948. Brothers and sisters, I think this is a truly remarkable aim. They hit Shavuot. They hit Shavuot. They hit Pentecost. Think, dear brothers and sisters, could mortal man have achieved such accuracy as to target Shavuot? To most Gentiles attending that meeting, it had little or no relevance. It was but the 15th of May, 1948. But to the Jews, it was Shavuot. Think, dear brothers and sisters, the Jews could not form an assembly on that day, for the high holy day, a solemn assembly according to the law. It was a day when all the males were required to go up to the temple to present themselves before Yahweh. But here in 1948, David Ben-Gurion called a general assembly, which included the religious Jews. And this is called on the 14th of May, the day before, the time 4 p.m. And there he announced the state of Israel. For at 6 p.m., Shavuot commenced. Yes, Ben-Gurion could not delay his announcement until the 15th of May 1948, for the mandate would pass to the UN. So he took the initiative. He proclaimed the State of Israel, which was quickly recognized by both America and Russia, with Britain abstaining. But, dear brethren and sisters, allow me to stretch your thoughts a little. You will recall that the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened on the 17th day of the second month. And at that time, the months were 30 days apiece. So the 17th day of the second month is in fact the 47th day of the year. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I would like you to consider taking 47 days from Shavuot. That will take us back to the third day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, you will recall, is the morrow after Passover. So the third day in which our Lord lay in the grave, for he lay there 3 days and three nights, we have Jesus on the third day. The following day begins the cycle of the 47 days through to Pentecost. Think about it. Christ rose on the first day of the week. Just a thought. Now, dear brothers and sisters, note carefully. Noah entered the ark on the 40th day, for he entered it on the 10th day of the second month. And Christ ascended into the heavens on the 40th day, when he was taken up from his disciples. Just as Moses was 40 days in the mount, and he received the law. There are many other allusions to the 40 days, but I think that's sufficient for us to just focus on for the moment. Are there lessons to be drawn? I should think so. I don't think we're stretching this relationship too far. Think about it. After all, it was our Master who invited us to consider the events surrounding the times of Noah. As we say, there is more we could add. Let that suffice us for the moment. And then we think of the situation next year with Israel, who will celebrate their 70th anniversary of being a nation. Let us consider Shabbat, Pentecost. Shabbat will take place on the Saturday, the 19th of May, next year. Think about it. They will doubtless celebrate the 18th of May at 4 p.m. For they will remember the words of David Ben-Gurion. We can imagine the radio, the television will play those words to the nation at that time. The state of Israel was established. Then consider Ezekiel 38, with reference to the mountains of Israel. For until David Ben-Gurion declared the state of Israel, when Ezekiel spoke those words, there was no Israel. They were in captivity. So, dear brothers and sisters, can we link these various events? Christ did. So you see, Christ is directing our thoughts to consider the times of Noah. We might well ask, will Christ be in the earth by the end of the year? After all, he gave us the sign to look at, to encourage us. Truly, we cannot know for certain, for no man knows the day nor the hour when your Lord doth come. Will we be glorified by the next Shabbat? Think about it. True, we cannot tell. What I aim to do is to focus our thoughts on the coming of Jesus. In the light of what I've already said, I would like you to think about Shabbat. What implications might be attached to it. In Leviticus 23, verses 10 to 17, we read concerning the initial offer of a single sheaf of barley offered unto Yahweh. And we read, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, ye shall reap the harvest thereof. Then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priest. This is the first ripe of the barley harvest. It is offered following Passover, on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread. Think how it applies to Christ. For the barley harvest was unaffected by disease or blight. It was separated from the second harvest, in which two loaves of leavened bread were offered at Shavuot. Two loaves of leavened bread were offered at Shavuot. Verse 15 of that chapter. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that he brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall he number 50 days. It is then that he shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto Yahweh. We would emphasize the point that as the original offering was made on the first day of unleavened bread and ended with Shavuot, with the offering of 2 wave loaves of unleavened unto Yahweh, so we see Jesus as the first sheaf of the first ripe of the barley, presented as a sinless offering unto deity. And then at Shavuot, they are brought in 2 wave loaves of leavened bread, depicting both Jew and Gentile sinners. And yet they all bore the same nature, and we all bear the same nature. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we reflect upon Christ as our Passover lamb, was offered up as a wave offering of the first fruits of barley harvest at the feast of unleavened bread, is it possible that we, if we are found faithful, might be that wave bread offering raised and justified in the sight of Yahweh at Shavuot? Some might think the link is tenuous. But, dear brothers and sisters, taking the thought a little further, we might ask, of those who live through the millennial reign of Christ, might they be elevated at the Feast of Tabernacles to the glorious union within the Father with Christ and the saints, when God will be all in all? Just a thought, dear brothers and sisters. But to return to our thoughts, in particular to the words of our Master and his cautionary warning found in Matthew 24, and note his warning and the sign he gives. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This sign is doubtless the same sign which the disciples witnessed as they saw Jesus go up into heaven, as confirmed by the angels. These disciples did not witness the sign, or will not witness the sign, but their successors would. Note the warning. They shall see the sign of the coming of the Son of Man in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But for the dead in Christ, they would be awaiting the resurrection trump of God, and they shall rise. But what of those who witness the return of Christ? We are told, these will be those who will mourn, for when they see the Lord Jesus Christ, for the time of opportunity to serve the Lord will have passed. When they see that sign in heaven, Christ has returned. Faith in his coming is at an end. And the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then, dear brothers and sisters, we who are alive and remain shall be called away. Think on it, dear brothers and sisters. It will be too late to perfect faith when Christ is in the earth. Now is the day of opportunity. Let us rise to the challenge. Let us be watching and waiting, ever ready for the coming of our Lord.